It seems a little contradictory that they're going to have, the chances are they're going to have a rebellious son. And this is what you're trying to prevent. So why do they say, you can't divorce all of Ojoy? Just maybe double, triple the amount of shekels he gives to the
father. I would say that most of these cases are given as a warning. It says that, you know, Jews have to be sure that they don't rape, because the consequences will be drastic. Even when it says the first case, quite just as the first case, I don't know how, it was very rare, Yefatova. Why was it very rare? Because there's a warning in the Chumash about it. See? And it was very rare, and it's called a summer day, never happened, it had been Sore Amore. Why not? Because it hardly ever happened, it was a Fatova. And similarly, with regard to quite a lot of the instances of different penalties, especially the Torah makes a great fuss, you might say, of warnings, which have to do with divine punishments. It's your punishments to be enforced also with the Bet Din Shalmata, with the courts. With regard to difficult situations in adolescence, you know, we have to stop certain trends, otherwise people become criminals. And similarly also with those who try to destroy other people's arrangements to get married, you know, because Eusin is like a commitment to get married, you know, that this girl's going to be raped and so on. It can be very serious. Therefore, keep away from it. I would even go further and say all the different predictions about the suffering to come from the people of Israel, of banishment, if we don't fulfill the laws of Hashem in Eretz Israel, it's all a chesed to recognize that it shouldn't happen. Hashem wouldn't like it to happen. That's why we say all prophecies of doom and punishment, they're all on condition. They're not going to happen if they do teshuva. And that's the essence, one of the essences of Yom Kippur, that the Mafti of Yom Kippur is specially chosen for such a situation. For Nineveh. Yeah? Yonah said, Yonah, in fact, why didn't you want to go to Nineveh? He said, because maybe they'll even take notes. I'll give them a warning, and I'll tell them you all go to teshuva, and if not, then the whole of Nineveh will be overturned. So that, he says, they'll do teshuva. And this will be an accusation against the people of Israel. You can give them warning, you don't do teshuva. That's the trouble with it. Don't take notice. And even today, who's taking notice of the fulfillment of prophecies from thousands of years ago, which unfortunately become unfulfilled? And how can people become so blind? It's unbelievable. Where the blindness? The blindness of Am Yisrael. I think the blindness of a great part of Am Yisrael is due, it brings about the blindness amongst the nations of the world. Even they should be terrified. And as it says, if you read the prophets carefully, you'll see that the world is doomed to destruction unless they listen to the Noahide Code, briefly speaking. And so, Islam is becoming so distorted, it's unbelievable. Okay. So now let us go to something a bit more close to us, and something which is in our hands more easily. So we would, if you know, those of you still got Daf Yud Gimel? Anyone got Daf Yud Gimel?
Oh, from last time?
Yes, you got? You got, yes.
I have to bring it.
No, so because we're going.
Here's your
Gimel.
We have it now.
Yeah, so that's it. You give it. So we're just near the end of it. The last two paragraphs, I'll paraphrase. So this is a continuation of the Musa given by Rav Dessler for the month of Elul, where he describes the importance of every individual, Bedina Shamayim, recognizing that the heavenly we call providence and reward and punishment is based upon not just doing actions, but causing actions of evil, and causing actions of good also. It's all taken into consideration. He says, similarly, when the sages say, Kol shelo nivna beit hamikdash b'yamav, gunechra b'yamav. If in a person's life the Beit HaMikdash was not built, it's as though it was destroyed in his days. What does that mean? It says every individual should know if Beit HaMikdash destroyed because it wasn't built. Why wasn't it built? Because we didn't do our part to build it. Now, as I said, I haven't seen this elsewhere, but I think that's a deeper meaning. When we say at the end of the Amida, and also the concluding verses of a number of other prayers, Yotzom Lefunecho, Shem Lekel Hashem, Shemon Beit HaMikdash, Be'Yomeinu, may the Beit HaMikdash be built, V'ten Chalkeinu B'Toratecha, and give our portion in the Torah. So the connection is, each individual has been given his portion in the Torah. We should know if he fulfills his portion completely, that means he used all his energies to fulfill the Torah in every way, whether it's learning Torah, or whether it's teaching it, or whether it's fulfilling mitzvot, doing chesed, so on. Then you are building a brick for the Beit HaMikdash. So that part, that's why I say it's responsible for the chelek. And that chelek influences the total. As we hold this whole concept, one individual makes up the majority of mankind. So v'ukenira, this is like above, the b'chol ma'isim masav, ha'adam achreib ad galut v'tzarot shel klal Yisrael. For every action that the individual person performs, he is responsible for the exile and the trouble that come upon the people of Israel and the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the Kabbalah Din Shammai, this is Din Shammai. And not only that, he's responsible for the whole world. It says, you know, troubles come on the world, Hashem says, it's in words of the prophet, Ach Amati Tichu Musa, you the people of Israel should learn an ethical message from what happens if it's an earthquake or tsunami or people call an act of God or huge explosions, even also evil acts of men. V'hatam shebini neshamayim machshivim et hagrama kamase. The reason is, in the decision of the heavenly court of Hashem, one considers not just the person who performs an action, but the person who causes an action to take place. Mishum d'amat adam yireh l'inayim. The human being looks at everything externally with materialistic eyes. Ve'en yachol ladon lefi ma she'einav ro'ot. We say a dayan, the judge, can only make a judgment according to what his eyes actually see. Because this human judgment, you have to go by obvious evidence. That's why there's such importance in the Chumash, given to testimony, and make sure the testimony is unbiased. There's no type of bribery. Ein amasim, so therefore the human court has to judge actions. V'lo ha'tochen, not the content. Ki mishpato ein ha'shorshim. For the judgment of the human being is like in the illness, we might say. In illness, today, there are many general practitioners and doctors who will make a decision according to symptoms. Symptoms which appear, many of them look up the different treatments and medicines that are available, and they give them according to the symptoms that they find in the human body. And that is a medical approach, which because sometimes it doesn't seem such a serious situation, when there's a very serious situation, then the sensible approach is that you have to make an analysis of what is the inner cause, which is generally speaking psychosomatic. So the inner workings of the human body are closely related to the inner workings of the nervous system. The nervous system is connected also with even subconscious feelings that don't bring an obvious pain, but there's pain underneath. That's where you can't separate it. What you recognize not only is, say, the Rambam, who in his time was very great in this, that some of his books were only more recently been translated into English. For example, he wrote this whole book on Hanagata Briyot, which means how to have a healthy lifestyle. He wrote it for the Sultan. He said the Sultan, he was his doctor. So he wrote for him in Arabic, a book. The main thing is how to retain health, which is based on the Chumash. The Chumash says that if you will observe the Torah in every way, Hashem says, we say this Pasuk, also creates Maramita, all the sicknesses shall fall upon Egypt, all the Makot and everything else, I won't bring them upon you, because I'm your doctor. So one of the explanations is, what do you mean I'm your doctor? If a doctor can bring a person to a state that he won't become sick, the answer is yes. And the ancient setup of the medical profession in China and some other places was that a doctor was given a certain number of patients and he was paid according to the months that his patient was healthy. When his patient got sick, he wasn't paid anything. So we have to make sure he gets healthy. But today it's the other way around. Today we pay a doctor when in America and here, when we get sick. So the more sicknesses, the more money the doctor can make. So they tend very often to not really be so keen that they should have no patients, which would be very bad for them. And the truth is, as I've been involved with some of the research in this in recent times, unfortunately, this research, that this approach is to some of the most serious illnesses. They don't go enough to the source of the illness, like cancer, but they treat the symptoms. And of course, in order to remove the symptoms, they've got to use chemotherapy. You know, there's chemical methods. So therefore, we've got to find the best chemicals, the best biochemicals, that will stop the illness from spreading. Why not try and find out exactly what causes the illness? If you put more work into that, but that type of diagnosis, for that you don't get paid very much. The doctor spends all his time finding out what causes the sickness, but he's not involved with it, with actually giving out the medicine to it. Not much to live on. So this is the way of the Torah. Torah says, keep to my program and you chol b'sarol marpe. Shlomo Melech said, he'll bring health to all flesh. And that's b'din ha'shamayim. So this also applies to the courts. The courts of law, they have to deal with thieves and with murderers and with rapists and people who are breaking up society through their evil behavior. So, you say one way is to threaten them, another way is to put them in prison, all different ways. Some you have to destroy them. And Hashem, Bashamayim, he goes to the root of the matter. And therefore he says that frequently, sometimes you go into deeply, and you've got to judge according to what caused this person to sin. And anyone who's involved in causing it, he may think he's a great saint, but he caused it. He caused this person to become a thief. Why? because he himself, he never stole, but he wasn't sufficiently strong in teaching people to avoid stealing people's sleep or stealing something sacred, something of portion which belongs to somebody else. He eats it up. So this caused the other person to think, well, if this person who thinks he's a rav or a teacher or a shashir doesn't behave properly, so therefore it means it doesn't matter. So I'm going to become a thief. But Hashem looks at the heart. So to carry on now, paraphrasing the words of this here, the human judge has got to go according to what I see. Aina ma'asim v'lo atochen. Ki mishpato elu shorshi. His judgment cannot go into the root of the evil. Aval Hashem yirah levav, Hashem looks at the heart. V'dan api atochen akamor. He judges every situation according to its inner content. Aval atochen apnimi. And in the inner content, there's no difference between garam lemaisa, between causing it and doing it. Causing it is like doing it. Now, you have any questions?
Causing what?
Causing people to sin.
Uh-huh.
Let's say, Am Yisrael. That's a good example. Am Yisrael, if we don't behave according to the Torah, then it causes the other nations to sin. You have to know that. But nations say, why is it that we complain about the double standard? But the double standard was introduced by Hashem. He chose us. He revealed to us the Aseret HaDibrot. The nations of the world, most of them were not aware of it, and not aware of it also today. And they expect us to be different. And we object. We say, treat us in the court of Hague, Jews are treated with an enormous negative bias. We know that. And today, all over the world, the United Nations also are no longer unbiased, extremely biased. And people tend to believe more easily anything negative about the Jew than about anybody else. About anybody else, I don't say it's because he's a Muslim, because he's a Christian, because he's an American, or because he's a German. But with the Jewish people, one person does something wrong, and the whole of the Jewish people is accused. That's happened in the Dreyfus Affair, that's happened in America, I didn't even know this just till this week. They advertised the lynch of a person called Frank, a Jew called Frank, who is lynched to death.
1920s.
You know what it is?
In the South.
Similar case.
In the South, that's
fine.
In the South.
Lynched to death. So, we've got to face, let's face it with them. Amalek HaKohanim V'Goy Kadosh. And Hashem himself says, the prophet Amos says, Rak etchem yadati mikol mishpachot adamah. From all the families of the earth, with whom did I have an inner relationship of knowledge through history? You, the Jewish people. So therefore, okay, because of this, Efkot Aleichem, I'm going to punish you for all your sins. Because we should set an example, and we don't. So, and to some extent, we can say the same within the Jewish people, like the Kohanim and Levim, have to set an example to the rest, if they don't. And the teachers have to set the example. So really, we should know that the more Torah we know, the greater becomes our responsibility for good and for bad for the wider community who don't know so much. And then he says here, and I will continue paraphrasing, Daf Yud Dalet, you've got in front of you, those who follow the Hebrew, your term is there, more than this, Bedina Adam, listen to this. Where do we find this difference? In human judgment, according to the courts which follow the Torah, Bedina Adam, Im Asara Osim Biyachad, if 10 people together beat a man to death, they're not given a death penalty. Why? Because none of them did a complete action. All the 10 people required to kill this person. And each one will say, well, my blow by itself wouldn't have killed him. But because 9 out of you joined me, that's why my blow helped to kill him. But each one of them says the same thing. So kind of Hume court gave him a capital sentence. They're not allowed to come to him. No? Allowed to. But they all chai b'din ha-shamayim. But in the court of heaven, it says in the Mishnah, they're all liable. But echad ve'echad, but each one of them causes the separate actions of the 10 people to be joined together. Etzirov masav namazah chaviro. His action is joined together with that of his fellow criminal. So therefore, all of them are guilty. Mizel nilmad. From here we can learn ad kama chayavim anu kulanu. How much are all of us responsible? Kol echad v'chad mamash. But kol ara'ot v'atzorot v'yisurim v'amitot avukot v'chlal kulo. We're all responsible for all the troubles, the suffering, the deaths that hit other people. Yeah, it's different ways. You know, so here in Handov, well, you know, truth is, each one of us have to consider, are we living according to the standards that Hashem wants? We're making very lavish banquets on all occasions, and of which a lot of the food is just thrown out when there's starving people around. But I can see, so we've got to perhaps change a few things. Do we treat every person in the best possible manner to help him materially and also spiritually, morally? The smallest action of each one of us, this is what decides the heavenly judgment. According to which, Chugorem, anything that he caused, through his behavior, through what he said, and what he didn't say, what he did or what he didn't do, the autumn is there. It says the saints often die and they give difficult deaths for the sin of the generation. Like there were four, you can see these four people who were killed in the most cruel manner. They were on a very high level. They were all of them on a high level, and at the highest levels, some of them. No. Of the amount of chesed that they did. But it didn't come out before so much. When you hear more of these four saints did in learning and teaching and helping other people, in arranging, especially for orphans and widows, what they didn't do, it's a lot of things. So therefore, but they were killed. Why were they killed? They killed because of the sin of the generation, of the people around them. We caused their death. She said, now, it says that, and some say it's even in Roman time or something, but probably it's a reference to what took place at the end of the First Temple period, that there was blood coming out non-stop because somebody threw a stone at the great prophet Zechariah. Zechariah Levi was the second temple, beginning of the second temple. So Zechariah was killed by a stone that somebody threw at him, and Zechariah gave Samusa. So the blood was constantly coming out from the place where he was killed. So one of the cruel tyrants, he went and killed Jews who came in that spot to stop the blood coming out from the ground. So what's the difference if somebody throws a stone at the prophet and kills him? Someone who does a sin And because of his sin, the Gonim Tzadikim, the great saints, are killed. This is called murder, Bedin Shamayim, in the law of heaven. You find this in the Chumash already, that it is the day people are negligent with traveling. Sometimes it couldn't be helped. There are many situations where if the drivers would be more careful, they would have killed somebody. So really, it's like a case of manslaughter. It's always the day with the Sanhedrin and so on. But in the time of Sanhedrin, these people will all have to go to the Ari Miklat. And the Chumash, the few parts of the Chumash, calls manslaughter a rotzeach. He didn't mean to kill. And more than that, the Gemara even says that a person goes up on a ladder and falls down and kills somebody. He didn't mean to kill him. So if there's evidence, perhaps he's a heavy man, if that fell upon a child or something, so he's a kotka iremikla. What if he fell upon an adult? Then it says, Hashem in ali ador. There could be instances where Hashem wanted this person who was under the ladder when this heavy person fell on top of him and killed him, that he was destined to die by Dina Shamayim. Why? Because he was a murderer who killed somebody intentionally. There weren't enough witnesses. So people didn't know about it. Even they suspect him, there's no proof that he killed anybody. But in heaven they know that he murdered, and he intended to murder. And therefore Hashem said, right, he'll have to be killed. Who's going to kill him? The manslaughterer. So therefore Hashem, this heavy man was going down the ladder, and then he fell off it, and fell on top of the unknown murderer and killed him. So really he was fulfilling the divine decree that he should die by Dina Shamayim. But even that, why should it come through him? So it means he himself is also guilty, still called the Rotzeach. But he didn't know about this. He didn't know who was underneath. But it's called the Rotzeach because you've got to be more careful. So people today are careless drivers, and we pass to them with the manslaughterers. And maybe they raise the question, have some of you asked on last week's parsha, where it says, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, in the land of Israel go to, you have to go and make 3 Levite cities to absorb the Rotzchim B'Shogeg, the manslaughterers. But if Hashem will widen your borders, and you have Transjordan, in that case, you're going to have another 3 cities. And the Chazal say, if you look at the verses carefully, it means when you have Transjordan reaching up to Euphrates, it's very big, the greater Israel you're going to have, when will it happen? The days of the Mashiach. Therefore, what else the Kasha? The days of the Mashiach, you're going to have more murderers? Yeah? What do you say about that? When Mashiach comes, there will be more murderers? Mashiach comes, death will become obsolete. So I saw the Mesha Chochma said like this. The Mashiach can come either tomorrow or any day after, or if not, he'll come at the end of the period of 6,000 years since Adam and Isha. What does it depend on? Will he come at the end of the period, or can he come already tomorrow, or next week, or next month?
Depends on us.
Yeah. Which way?
If we all do tshuva, then he'll come tomorrow. If we don't, he'll force it out of us.
Yeah. So, if you analyze both the verses of the prophets, and even more so, the words of the sages, they say that there are 2 ways. We can bring the Mashiach through our tshuva. And really, this division is referred to in the parsha of Tshuva, which you read in a few weeks' time, in Sabir. So then you can come straight away. And it's very interesting. The way it's described in the Tzavim is exactly what's happened. There's so many things become more literal now than they've ever been before. But there it says, if you do teshuva, because of all the suffering and so on, so the blessing and the curse, then Hashem will help you to get back to your land. And you'll be fruitful. And then it says afterwards, but Hashem will see your enemies will become less. And you put the curses which he promised to come upon you, upon your enemies. And then it says, if you do teshuva and love Hashem, then you'll have even greater blessing. So there's two levels. There's teshuva out of fear and out of trouble, out of the problems of the Jewish people, which is what we're seeing today. It's happening. But Jews try to run away from Judaism, but when they can't, because the non-Jew says, we hate you, and therefore the Jew sees he can't remove that hatred, so he recognizes no good running away from Judaism, because the non-Jewish anti-Semitism is applied to me just as much if I give up every aspect of Judaism. They'll still tell me you're a Jew. So that has helped us to get even Jews, non-affiliated, to become interested in Zionism and in coming back to the land of Israel. It's true. There are also some who come back positively. There are some who can even say about them, the highest saints, and they come back out of love of Hashem. But on the whole, apparently, according to this principle, if we would really do teshuva out of love, Hashem would let the Mashiach come already. But since we don't, we do it out of fear, not knowing that it's easier to live a Jewish life than be saying openly to go with the kippah. And in Eretz Israel, in Chutz La'aretz, in certain areas, it's dangerous to go with the kippah. They don't allow in Europe, many places, they say, don't they do it? Wear a hat, even a hat they'll suspect if you look a little Jewish. They'll take your hat off. But don't wear a kippah. It's too dangerous in a public place. So, we're preferably in a place where I give all trouble to the kippah. Or you put on a Mogen David on my lapel. So, this was happening today. So we should know that there's two shittot also. When the Mashiach comes, will there be supernatural miracles, or will the world continue? The two opinions of Gemara. Shmuel says, and it would appear that Rambam adopts this also, that the only basic difference will be that the persecution of the Gentiles against the people of Israel will stop, and they recognize our superiority. But the Yetzirah will still be there. And therefore, although it will lead to peace amongst the nations, it doesn't mean that everybody will be a saint. And certainly, especially as we see in the age of speed, you've got to be so careful, and certainly it'll probably come about with the progress of science and the swiftness of all forms of transport and any activity, there you have to be careful. If you're not careful, you'll be killing people, which you don't want to do. So therefore, when Mashiach comes and we'll get the greater Israel, and we'll have to also absorb the nations of the world who live there as Gevei Toshav, they'll keep the Noachad code. But even they keep the Noachad code, they're going to be so careful whenever they drive a car to take in mind the negligence and the suddenness of situations that arise in speed, and who said there'd probably be increased situations of manslaughter, as we find even today. That I think the record was until recent times that there are more people killed from traffic accidents than have been killed by all the terrorists in Israel. So this is a Unfortunately, nearly all of them were unintentional traffickers, accidents. So that's why we need called B'dina Shamayim. We should know that we cause even tzaddikim to be taken by Hashem to atone for our sins, for which there's no earthly punishment. Do you have any questions on this?
Yes, I don't know how related the question is, but it seems that the nations of the world are punished more than we are to show us an example of what could have been done to us. But at the same time, because we're supposed to be set an example, we're judged on a closer, higher, more strict level. So which is it? It appears that the nations are actually punished much more than us.
Well, if you take the 70 years ago Shoah as an example, I think the Jews were punished more. Mm. Yeah, much more. Mm-hmm. And this may be part of the deeper understanding of the divine providence. Jews are punished more. If you go through the ages, Jews have suffered more from Gentiles, pogroms and massacres, than the nations of the world. But now, this outlook upon life, which you already mentioned before, that look, v'hainu ma she'amru l'olam yira atzmo k'ilu kol olam chetzu chayav v'chetzu zakai asa v'ira achat hechriya et kol olam tafo. So what should be our approach? Our approach should be that every moment we should regard the world, means all human beings, being in a balance. Now you need to know the discussion in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Does this take place only on Rosh Hashanah, or does it take place every moment? Those are the two extreme opinions. One opinion is everything is decided in Rosh Hashanah, about the whole world. Reading up to Yom Kippur, where it's finally sealed. And the other opinion is that Hashem makes a judgment every moment. So why every moment? Every moment, the way in which Hashem leads the world can change. Because of our deeds. Therefore we are guilty for every evil that comes upon the world. Zuit or Kudulaban or Adis is a way in which we should be aroused in a most even awesome fashion. The Gamba Varachika Kala Nukhal Lachriya Vinakshab Kurutskakla. Oh, even with a small sin, we can tip the scales, and thereby we're considered by those who bring death upon a great part of mankind. Yep. So, in other words, we have responsibility. Now, this is the image of the scales, which covers Rosh Hashanah, and which, according to the sages, really, should be applied daily, according to Rabbi Yossi, and our prayers are expected, to some extent, on this basis. Now, how far to apply it? The idea is not that a person should say, well, if I have such terrible responsibilities, I'll get nowhere, so I've got to forget about it. I can do what I want, because to reach that level, to avoid the slightest sin is going to destroy the world, that's too much for me. That's very interesting that there's a non-Jew called Carl Jaspers, and he won got the Nobel Prize for his books on the future of mankind. And when I read that book years ago, is amazed. He said, because he quotes there the Bible and the words of the sages, and he says, after you reach the level of nuclear energy, which can be used for peace and energy to help better distribution of the foods necessary for starving millions, or it can be used, unfortunately, for mass destruction. Everyone knows this, what happened in Hiroshima. Gas turbines is a destructive human, innocent human beings, hundreds and thousands. So, what are we going to do about it? Is there any solution? He says, doesn't go according to the principle of the balance of terror. But the balance of terror is a big risk, enormous risk, as I should, as Kennedy recognized. Terrible risk. Although it's helped, it's true. It's helped in a certain way. But maybe it's also helped because some people have taken notice of this message. And I found out afterwards, where did he get his let's say his Jewish knowledge from? Because he says the only solution is we have to, just like Christianity learned from Judaism, they took certain principles from barbarian society and became more civilized because accepting Judaism into Christianity at least gave people the idea you've got to work for Satanism and morality. So he said, today also, mankind has to learn the deeper lesson of the Jewish way of life, which is to treat every single event in life as being a question of choosing the virtuous path instead of the vicious path. Always to choose to give, to help others, rather than to harm others. And you've got to work it through day by day in all different situations. As we find is the inner way of Jewish Orthodox life. And mankind's got to learn this lesson, that ethics has to govern everything else. And not as today in the schools and universities, when ethics might be taught somewhere as like an abstract subject, but to introduce a system of how to live every moment with the knowledge that all our actions can influence the whole world, that's the way to do it. And that's what he suggests. And I found out that he lived in Basel, and he learnt there with a major rabbi in Switzerland, who taught him the Jewish way of life. And he said, well, this is what can bring about a safe future for mankind. And this is the program that's got to be adopted. So this is the great significance there is today for we Jews doing our part. Through this mention of the prophets and the words of the sages, the co-responsibility, and you connect it also with the way in which you do find even the natural world, it's called the butterfly effect. It's not called the butterfly effect. The way in which the butterfly flies in Australia or New Zealand can affect the different cycles. If you go in the cycles of nature, something happens with even such a miniature being as a butterfly. Can affect the winds, can affect the development of weather, can make this causal effect that goes all the way through different levels of ripple effect started off by this butterfly. Yes?
Well, a good way of explaining this is America sneezes and the rest of the world catch a cold.
Yes. Good statement, yes.
About 20 years ago, when Alan Greenspan was the chairman of the Federal Reserve in America, he was held in such high reverence, and they didn't know what he was saying exactly, but if he showed any nervousness, the stock market would have a ripple effect. If he showed any doubt...
Who, what was his position?
The chairman of the Federal Reserve, like...
So what they intended, bring him up into the ship.
Yeah, very good.
So here.
Yeah, better idea. Right. I'll stop now.
No, 10:30.
No. Want to wait till 10:30?
Yeah. So
I don't know if Rabbi Schwartzman used his room at that time.
No, 11.
Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to comment that last week's parsha, they said Daron also gave a Devar Torah about building the fence on top of your house. Yeah. And how it's written, it says that the fallen will not fall from your house, and that you will be responsible for it. And you had said something like earlier that things were decreed from acts of God, you know, like storms and things like that, that when they were making this nuclear type of energy for peace, that they should have guarded it well enough that there shouldn't have been bombs. Not necessarily like all those people in Japan wouldn't have died. They were already decreed to die. On Yom Kippur, the book was sealed even on the going.
Yeah.
But the thing is it makes a very good point to make sure that you're not responsible for this to happen. So it shouldn't be on your house. Like it, so he shouldn't fall from your house. That man's destined to fall and die, but make sure that you're responsible enough that you make sure that it has nothing to do with you. It's purely an act of Hashem.
It's hinted at in the verse, if you look carefully, this is what you spoke about yesterday, Doron. It says, Vasita makele kakecha, veloy, then it says, ki pol hanofel mimenu. When the person who's supposed to fall falls from it, make sure it doesn't fall from your house. Because yeah. Magalkin, that's the same principle. It may be decreed, but that's not, you shouldn't be a cause of it. If you cause it, you'll still be guilty. Bashamayim, you reckon that, you can't reckon it within Adam, but within Shamayim, yes. I think we're just time to finish here in the same subject, the next paragraph. This is very important. Today, I would say it's important for the Dayonim, Rabbonim, Rosh Yeshivas, and those who've learned Torah all their lives. It's very important. The Matzin Betin Shaona Be'Eglarufa. Eglarufa deals with a case where there was a person who was killed, we don't know who the murderer is. And then the elders have to say, the Kohen, the Levim, and the elders, the big leaders, spiritual leaders, our hands did not spill this blood, which means we didn't let a person go away without being given enough provisions for the path. And Lo Patum, we should have given him security accompaniment in the case of place of danger. Lo Patrunu below Levia, Harishim Patru below Mazon of Levia. If they would have let a stranger, any person, to go without food or to go without enough accompaniment, then the Pasuk would say, Ki Adam Chabchait Adam, then they have to declare, our hands did spill with blood. If this is what is said explicitly with regard to external causes, that this person, some say this question, Charmi Bavli, some say, who's this person they're talking about? Some say it's not the victim, and some say, no, they're talking about the murderer. This person had no food, nobody was accompanied to control him, and he's, because he's got no food, he sees another person has got a lot of food with him, and he'll say, please give. You go up to him and say, look, I've got a gun here, either give me your food or I'll kill you. He's that type of brigand. So he killed him. So we've got to protect the murderers as well. We must not get people around who've got no food to eat and they feel so desperate they're going to kill somebody else. So this is simple apimikra olam. These are causes that take place, what happens in the world. And also these causes, that there should be such a situation very far-fetched, doesn't have to happen. Even more so, if there's an inner cause that has produced another person to do an evil action, or something to happen to him, these are the inner, true causes. These are the divine causes, that means according to the more spiritual nature of life. Teva ruchanit, because of the spiritual nature. Because these are the real causes. The real inner causes, anything external, something internal, even in sicknesses like that. And certainly in other situations. The sickness of a society also has always inner, non-material causes to bring about the sickness, which is produced by many different people producing this, not to the open eye, but if you go into it more deeply, you'll see it's like that. And therefore, this is the principle according to the divine judgment. Let us think now the enormous amount of result of sinfulness. Sometimes it appears there's nothing in this Aveda. What did a person do? It's a small Aveda. And you've got to reckon it negative seda. What are you going to lose by it? You say, well, you know, I put other people to shame in public. And I didn't realize it so much, but wasn't careful enough. And as a result, those people, they left Yiddishkeit. Some people on the board after leaving Yiddishkeit, they left morality. You've got to always consider that negative seder, the loss. We see from Egla Rufa that the individual can be considered as a murderer. With a small sin. But of course the same also applies for good. If you therefore do something for good, the only way we can work against Chilul Hashem and the different ways we cause the name of Hashem, the name of Torah, and their morality to be trampled upon. So how do we change it? By working the opposite direction. So let's all work hard to make a Kiddush Hashem with all our actions and deeds and be the cause of good things in the world. Now my son is coming to give a share from Mishrasha, electric Mishrasha.
The author's name is Carl Jaspers.
Huh?
Is the author's name Carl Jaspers?
Jasper, Carl. J-A-S-P-E-R.
The first name?
Carl.
K-A-R-L.
Oh, C.
C-A-R-L.
Yes.
The philosopher of